Territory, written by Judy Nunn and read by John Gregg. Lieutenant Akira Nakajima felt a deep pride at the spectacle which surrounded him. The clear blue sky of early morning was alive with action, threatening, lethal, and all-powerful. Through his cockpit windows, Akira could see Val dive bombers just like his, and Kate high-level bombers, and Zero fighters, 242 aircraft in all, a magnificent sight. Today would be another splendid victory for the Japanese Imperial Air Force. He glanced to his right and shared a smile with his young co-pilot, who grinned back, barely able to contain his own excitement. Toshiro Kurosoto was honored to be a member of Nakajima's team. Lieutenant Nakajima had been a bomber commander in the force which had so triumphantly attacked Pearl Harbor. It was most regrettable that the lieutenant's regular co-pilot had been wounded in the attack, Toshiro had agreed, but silently he'd thanked the gods for his own good fortune. Soon he, Toshiro Kurosoto, barely 23 years of age, would share a similar glory to that of the heroes of Pearl Harbor. Through their headsets, nothing could be heard but the muffled throb of the powerful engines. Since their departure from Ambon, radio silence had been maintained, but it would not be long before their headsets would be crackling with the voices of command. Paul Trewinnard leaned back in his large wicker armchair, sipped at his tea, and looked out across the harbour from the windows of his room on the first floor of the Hotel Darwin. The overhead ceiling fan created the comforting illusion of breeze, but at barely 9 o'clock in the morning, the air was already hot and still, clammy with the humidity of the monsoon season. Today was his birthday, 19th of February. Born shortly after the turn of the century, he was 42 years old today, and he felt every bit of it. No, that wasn't true at all. He felt 20 years older. What would he do with the day? He wondered vaguely as he watched two boys playing football on the harbourside oval. He could complete his regular editorial article for the Northern Standard. Or he could start on his reportage of the situation in the Pacific, which he regularly forwarded to the London Times. But he didn't feel like embarking upon either. At the best of times, his writing was only a way of filling in the days, of giving his life some sense of purpose. He didn't need the money. The quarterly remittances that regularly arrived from the family law firm in London were more than enough to sustain him. No, to hell with journalistic responsibilities. He'd visit his good friend Fung Lee. Perhaps they'd get drunk together. Well, perhaps he would. Fung Lee never seemed to get drunk, no matter how much alcohol he appeared to imbibe. And that was it, of course.